He doesn't want to get down, so maybe I'll preach like this. Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. It's in your bulletins also. We're going to read from verse 7 to verse 15. However, be sure to open a Bible somewhere, at least the Bible in front of you or a Bible app. I will definitely be referring to some of the context as I usually do. So here's Mama. While you're getting to Matthew chapter 11, the verse that Roy referred to in his testimony was out of Psalm 119, verse 164. So I didn't know that by heart. I just Googled it. So it's a very good Bible resource is Google. Who knew? So I'll read from verse 7, and please join me from verse 11, real easy, 7 and 11. I'll go from 7, please join me at 11. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. And I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Please join me. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to... Let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. Okay, thanks. Thanks for those who are in a real Bible. That was good. Who made that? Fernando. All right. Thanks, Fernando. I'm glad it didn't have all of it, because that forces us to open our Bibles to get the context, and it's very important to get the context. Our title for the scripture today is Kingdom Great, and we get that from verse 11. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist, but even least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. And so we're going to make that point number two. Point number one comes from actually verse 4, and then point number 3 from verse 12. But the reason why I wanted to get the whole context is, how many of you, when you read your Bible, you come across some strange or difficult to understand sentence or verse, and you say, yeah, Lord, one of these days, you'll give me the answer to that. And so you just kind of oit oit that. You put it aside, you know. So for how many years, I can't count, There were three verses in Matthew chapter 11 that really always confused me, and I thought, one of these days, Lord, you're going to teach me what it means, and it happens to be when I preach on it. That's when it'll be. So I want to encourage you, for those who are thinking about being a Christian, for all of us who are Christians, it's like you don't really have to know everything. It's like a baby who needs milk. The baby doesn't say, I'm not going to drink milk until I know the properties of milk and everything that is involved with the mother's body and the liquid substance. You can't answer everything. The baby just needs milk. And so you drink it. That's kind of how the Word of God is to Christians. I don't understand all of it. The Trinity, over my head. God, the creator of all the universe, Lord of heaven and earth, over my head. But I need God. I need His Word. I need Him to speak to me and direct my life. That's what I need. And the rest will come. So here we are. There's three verses in our passage today. One that's not in the bulletin. One that we didn't read. It's actually from the context. It's from verse 4. Verse 6. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. If you know what that means, then you don't have to listen to this. If you don't know what that means, I want to offer you an interpretation. Verse 6, and then also in verse 11, I tell you, those born of a woman are no one greater than John the Baptist, that one. And then verse 12, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and the violent people have been raiding it. So those are the three difficult scriptures, and I hope that you'll be not just fed, but encouraged and filled with the Holy Spirit through His Word. So here's the context. Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, has been preaching for about 2.5 years, and he is not afraid to tell anyone to their face they need to repent and to change. The man loves God and loves God's people so much, he will get in God's people's face. And in fact, he got into the king's face. He said, King Herod, your wife is not legal. You took her from your brother. That's wrong. Right to his face. And he paid the price. He went to jail and would later be beheaded. Now, John the Baptist is living his life, preaching the gospel, telling people to repent, to turn to God, turn away from their sins, and turn to Jesus. And in fact, he literally pointed to Jesus and said, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Follow him, because I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. You listening to me? Go to him. And so he's telling everybody, go to Jesus. Follow Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's the one. He's the one who will turn everything right. And now he's in jail, and he's doubting. And he thought, all these years I've been getting ready. My life has been devoted to this Jesus, and now I'm in jail. And he is confused, and he is troubled. And so he tells his disciples, go to Jesus. Tell him, I'm troubled. And tell him, ask him, are you really the one? Are you really the Messiah? That's the first 6 verses of Matthew 11. And Jesus answers him, and answers his disciples there. And I'm just going to read it for you. It says, Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Now, if you have your own Bible, if you're taking notes, you need to take a note on that word stumble. The word in the Greek is skandalion, the word that we get in English of scandal, and the Japanese katakana, skandaru. It doesn't mean a politician is having an affair with somebody. It means to be troubled, to be confused, to be vexed, to be like, what is going on? To be like John the Baptist. And Jesus says, if you're going to understand the kingdom of heaven, if you're going to understand the gospel, you have to be someone who is not offended by the gospel. A better translation of that word stumble is offended, be offended. Okay, blessed is he who is not offended by me. What does that mean? Well, Jesus, in the previous verse, has mentioned a very special word, the gospel. The gospel, the good news, literally. Now, many of us have heard the word gospel. Many of us are familiar with gospel choirs, gospel music. Some of us have sung gospel. Makiko led us in a gospel song at the very end, right there. And it's about a culture, it's about a lifestyle, it's about a hobby, it's about an entertainment. Jesus is very deliberate. In Jesus' time, the word good news wasn't just, oh, look, it's a nice sunny day. It's not that. The gospel was about a historical event. I need you to catch this. That brought about a good new change in life. It was a historical event that brought about a change that affected everyone that would be good for them. You have back in the day, Caesar Augustus, Octavian, when he was coronated as king, as Caesar, they had the bulletin go out, and it was called the Gospel of Caesar Augustus, the Gospel of the crowning of Emperor Octavian. It was a historical event. Now, where am I getting at? Jesus is saying here that the beginning of Christianity, the events that surround the life of Jesus, are completely different from any other religion in the world. You take the major religions, Christianity, Buddhism, and Islam. We live in Japan. Let's take Buddhism. Buddhism, how did it start? It's a beautiful story. A prince in India named, help me if I get this, Gautama. He lived a sheltered life under his father, and he decides one day he's going to sneak out of the palace, and he's going to discover something. And the first night, he discovers sickness. On the second night, he discovers old age. On the third night, he discovers poverty. And so he decides, one day I'm going to get out, and I'm going to discover the mystery of life. And he sits under a tree. And after a while, he realizes what the meaning of life is. He gets up and he tells his disciples the Four Noble Truths. And this was the beginning of Hinduism and then later on Buddhism. Now, that's nice. It's a good story. But that story, the story of Muhammad, are the teachings of how to find salvation. How to have a better life. With Jesus, the story of his incarnation, the death, the resurrection, it's not how to be saved. That is salvation. So what you have in Buddhism and Islam are teachings and ways, a philosophy of life. In Christianity, no. It's salvation. It's salvation. It's rescue. So Jim mentioned people are offended at the gospel. people aren't offended by teaching. Love your neighbor, accept others, be tolerant, do unto others as you would yourself. That's not offensive. What's offensive is you're a sinner. You're lost. You need God. He came and broke through. He came. It's not that you can reach up to God. That's not the gospel. The good news is that God has come down and reached out to you. It's a historical event. The gospel is not how I come to God. It's not what I can do. The gospel is what's been done. And blessed is he who is not offended at that news. You know who get that the most? You know who aren't offended by that? Jesus mentions it in verse 5. The poor, the blind, the lame, all poor. Why? Why is that? Typically, why? Because, look, if you're educated, look, we're living in an educated, wealthy, cultured land. Number 2 in economy, I think number 3 now economy in the world. If you're educated, if you're self-made, if you've pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps, you've earned the right to be here. That's how the rich think. Listen, I'm a teacher at the top school for the elite. All of my students' parents are doctors, lawyers, politicians. And we preach every day, study hard. Don't give up. Go to school. Do your homework. Get good grades on your test. If you do that, you're going to be a doctor like your dad. You're going to be a politician like your dad. You're going to make it because that's what hard work earns you. That's what educated, rich people believe. Not all, okay? And to tell somebody who is educated, it's not what you can do. It's not what you can earn. It is a gift from God. You will never earn this. It can be offensive. It can be something that will cause somebody to stumble. And I'm not saying all people understand salvation. I'm not saying all rich people will never know Christ. But I'm saying Jesus understood that. Jesus is saying, you can't believe that it's something you earn. It's the gospel. It's something that's already been done. So don't stumble at that. And then he talks about John, the great John the prophet. And so he's talking about, what did you come out to see? Did you come to see a reed swayed by the wind? And did you see somebody come with nice clothes? No, you came to see a prophet. And then he says the great statement, right? Of any man born of a woman, there has never risen one who is greater than John the Baptist. That's, wow, that's Jesus right there. Okay, Jesus knows everybody in all the world. He's God, and he says John was the greatest. But here's the problem with most of the sermons that I've read. And all of the study I did this week, people take that sermon and turn it into, this is how you can be great. This is the secret to greatness in the kingdom of heaven. Be like John. That's a huge problem because that's not the thrust of that sentence. Was Jesus saying be like John? No, he says, look, John was the greatest, but even the least in the kingdom is greater than John. This is an encouragement for everybody here who feels like they're the least. If you are here and you couldn't sing these songs because you were so guilty, so dirty, so full of sin, so wretched, this is an encouragement for you. Because John, a man who didn't compromise, who was 100% devoted, who was a huge man morally, on his own, is still no greater than anyone here who will take the morality of Jesus, who will take the righteousness of Jesus and make it theirs. Look, you could be the worst of sinners right now. You could have done something this morning, last night. You could be thinking something right now that makes you filthy, wretched, and ugly. But if you will receive the grace and the righteousness given by Jesus through the cross, you are greater than John the Baptist. Any man born of a woman, born of a woman, born of a woman, that emphasizes his moral ability as a man, born of a woman. But anybody born of Jesus Christ, who is the least in the kingdom, you're greater than John the Baptist. What does Romans 1, chapter 16, verse 1, verse chapter 1, verse 16 say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. Is that what your Jesus is? Is that what your faith is? Is it the power? Here's what the rich, the educated, the cultured believe. No. We don't need the power. We need the teachings. Give us the teachings of Jesus. Love one another. Be tolerant. Be accepting. I don't need a savior. I need an example. That's all I need. I don't need the doctrines. I don't need the incarnation. I don't need the crucifixion. I don't need the blood. I don't need the miracles. I don't need the resurrection. I just need the sayings. But no. For those of you who want to know God, who want to be in the kingdom of God, you say, yeah, the teachings are good. Give me Jesus. Give me a savior. That's what I need. And Jesus says, yes, you'll be greater than John the Baptist. That's kingdom great. What does he say? He says, Jesus says what? If you say that you can see, you're actually blind. But if you say that you're blind, you can actually see. See, remember that? Jesus says that somewhere. I can't remember the verse. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying if you humble yourself, you confess that you are the least in the kingdom, that's when you are great in the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus is saying there. So I want to encourage you. I want to lift you up. I want you to understand the power of the gospel unto salvation. Righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. Your righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. You can be anybody, and he'll lift you up. So there's the offense of Jesus. There's the greatness. And finally, there's that statement in verse 12, the violence. And so let's look at that one more time. I want to make sure I get that straight. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. If you'll permit me just 1 minute, let me get a bit of grammar on you. I teach grammar to 13, 14, and 15-year-olds. So this is the original language is Greek. And in English, even in Japanese, we have two voices. We have the passive voice and the active voice, the nodotai and the judotai, right? Passive and active. So the active voice is, I am doing this, right? I am kissing my son. That's the active voice. And then the passive voice is, I am being kissed by my son. That's the judotai, right? So in the Greek, it's crazier. In the Greek, it's not just the active, it's not just the passive, there's called the middle. Right there, right in the middle. So it could go both ways. And so if you are reading this in the NIV, New International Version, it says what? Subjected to violence. It's the passive voice. If you read this in a different version, it says it's committing violence. Literally in the Greek, it's violencing. Okay? Now, Jesus was not foolish with his words. He knew exactly what he was saying. And so he's saying, I want you to think about what I'm saying right here. Subjected to violence and also doing the violence. The kingdom of heaven is being violent and is suffering violence. This is amazing. And if you let this truth get into you, oh, it will change everything. That's why Jesus came, to change everything. Look, you have Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of history, the creator of the heavens and the earth. For us, you look at a star, it's a massive, exploding ball of gaseous light. For Jesus, it's a piece of lint. It's tiny. It's nothing. Now, you ask that Lord, you ask that creator to come into your life, it's going to be violent. It's going to be crazy. It's chaotic. Some of us, we go to Jesus, we go to him like a, we just want some teaching like a pet, like a cell phone. You get a cell phone, you take it home, you put it on the counter, your life doesn't change. You go out, you get a pet, a cat, you bring it home, you put it in the corner. Nothing changes. Some people want to come to Jesus just as an accessory, as a hobby, or an interest. Jesus says, I'm not having that. Think about it. I am the Lord of history. I'm God. I'm not here to just make your life. See, people think, I came to church. I need something. I need, you know, I'm a little bit down. I need a little bit of strength. You know, I'll become a Christian if Jesus will let me be the businessman that I want to be. I'll come to Jesus if he'll let me find the man or the woman of my dreams. You know, that kind of Jesus. And Jesus says, no. The kingdom of heaven is violencing. It's an all-encompassing change. I'm not here to make your life a little bit better. I'm here to make your life completely different. If anyone is in Christ, he is what? Yeah, a nice creation, a little bit different, right? No, he's completely new. What? The old is gone. The new is come. It's the kingdom of God violencing. Now, I need you to consider this. What makes Jesus worth all of that? What makes Jesus worth changing your whole life? Why is it that Jesus demands, when he comes into your life, everything, your perspective, your habits, your reasoning, your relationships, why is it that he wants everything to change? Why is it that everything must be violently different? Because he is the one who has suffered violence on him. He is the one who said, yeah, I'll take all the violence of God, put it on me, subject it to me. I'll be subjected to it. I'll take the violence of death, and in exchange, you take the violence of life. Did you catch that? Jesus took the violence of death. All you need to do is take the violence of life. What's the violence of life? Have you ever had a surgery? Have you ever had a disease? A problem? You go to the doctor. Doctor, heal me. He takes what? A knife. He cuts it open. He takes some metal piece and he pulls it out. It's violent, blood, liquids, but it's the violence of life. It makes you whole. It makes you new. That's Jesus saying, that's what I want you to go through. You're going to go through hardship, pain, difficulty because of all the change, but it will bring you not death, it brings you through to resurrection. It's the violence of life. Why is he talking about Isaiah and Elijah? Did you, you know, when he's talking about John, you came to John, you were looking at a prophet, and he quotes Isaiah chapter 35. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are healed, the captives are set free. He's talking about the king coming back and making everything brand new, making it good.
And then he's talking about Elijah, right? Elijah, this great prophet, amazing prophet, who had this incredible part in his life, which I think is talking to John. You see, here's what happened to Elijah. Go back with me to the book of Kings. Elijah, he was this prophet, and he said, God, you have to, I read Isaiah, and you have to come. And when you come, I want you to take all the bad people and wipe them out. I want you to save us good people. I want there to be, when you come, there should be vengeance and retribution. And then the good people will rejoice. And so what does God answer the prophet Elijah? He says, Elijah, come out with me. I'm going to reveal myself to you. There was a big earthquake. God was not in the earthquake. There was a massive wind. God was not in the wind. There was a huge storm. God was not in the storm. But afterwards, there was a small, still, silent voice. God was there. And he was telling Elijah, I'm going to come, but I'm not going to come the way you think I'm going to come. I'm not going to come with this, bah, 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 and everybody's dead. I'm going to come in weakness, in stillness, in quiet. And he's telling John the Baptist now, because John the Baptist thought, I'm reading Isaiah, and he's quoting verse 5 of Isaiah, the blind see, the lame walk. But in verse 4 of Isaiah 35, God comes with vengeance and retribution. And John is saying, I thought you were going to come and wipe everybody out. And Jesus says, yeah. Look, John, look, look. If I came and I saved all the good people and I wiped out all the bad people, you're dead. Right? If God did that, if God did come and just wipe out all of the evil people, we are dead because we are evil. There is no good in us. But instead, Jesus says, look, yeah, I am bringing the justice of God, but the justice of God, the wrath of God, the vengeance of God, it's on me. It's on me. I'm taking it for you. I'm suffering the violence, and you're going off free. You're blind. You're now going to see. You were lame. Now you're going to walk. Would you consider Jesus? Would you look at him in his power, in his glory? Would you see him on the cross taking all of that for you? And would you bow to him? Would you worship him? Would you commit to serving him? Would you be willing to change everything for him because he's gone through all of it for you? That's our message today. That's the message. Is just consider again. Look at all the violence that Jesus suffered for you. Look at the vengeance that Jesus took upon himself for you. And give your life as a living sacrifice in return for that. That's the message. That's, I think, what John was saying to Jesus. Jesus was saying to John about the kingdom of heaven. That's our message. Would you meditate with me and pray? I'm going to ask Makiko to get us up. Father God, we take the word gospel so lightly. We think about good news and we think it's just teachings and a nice life, but Lord, we need to be changed. We need you to come and wipe the slate clean. Some of us, Lord, we're unworthy. We feel so least. We feel so little in the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, we need your righteousness to exchange that. Lord, we need you to come and live in us. Renew us, refresh us, not just to have a little bit of strength, but to be transformed by your power, God. Help us, God. Father God, I pray for those here who are suffering violence, who are experiencing difficulty because they are Christians, because they follow you. Lord, help them. Strengthen them. Refresh them, Lord God. Let the joy of the Lord be their strength. Restore unto them the joy of their salvation. Renew a right and steadfast spirit within us, Lord. We cry out to you in adoration. We cry out to you in need. But Lord, it is to you that we cry out. Lord, we thank you that you hear our prayers and that you are a good God who loves to bless his children. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.